You're listening to DC Broadcasting, podcast produced by the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College.
This is Riot Radio News.
I'm Alex Cairns. This is what's making news this hour. Ontario reports 390 new cases of COVID-19 today and no new deaths. While encouraging, the low number may be a result of the holiday weekend and fewer individuals being tested. Of the 390, 55% were in unvaccinated individuals, 33% fully vaccinated, and 12% were either partially vaccinated or had an unknown status. A recent Canada-wide survey from the University of Saskatchewan shows that most parents are still very concerned with COVID-19 in schools, with 8 in 10 supporting a continued mask mandate. Of the 1,000 people who are involved, 89% were fully vaccinated individuals, and 81% of those who had children 12 or older said that their children were also vaccinated. Yesterday, the World Health Organization and 3/4 of global healthcare workers called on governments to put in more work towards tackling climate change, saying it could save millions of lives a year. The WHO previously has said nearly 25% of global total deaths each year are due to preventable environmental risks such as air pollution and chemical exposure. In sports, the NHL season officially begins tonight with the defending Stanley Cup champions, the Tampa Bay Lightning, facing the Pittsburgh Penguins. No Canadian teams are in action tonight. Toronto faces Montreal tomorrow at home at Scotiabank Arena. The Toronto Raptors continue their preseason with a win over the Houston Rockets last night. They travel to Washington tonight to face the Wizards. And in baseball, the Red Sox beat the Rays 6-5 to win their series 3-1 and advance to the ALCS. The 3 remaining series could end today. Riot Radio weather. If for some reason your pool is still open, you're in luck and you might even think about getting in this week. Today we're going to be seeing a high of 20 degrees, mostly sunshine with a chance of showers in the afternoon. At night it'll only be dropping to about 17, so I'd consider keeping your AC turned on. Tomorrow's going to be 20 degrees, mix of sun and clouds with a chance of showers, but will stay pretty mild, only dropping to a low of 15. It's currently 19 degrees in Oshawa. For Riot Radio News, I'm Alex Cairns. Welcome to All Things with Alex. I'm Alex Cairns. I hope your week is off to a great start. As I was writing this week's show, I realized there was a little bit of a theme starting to emerge, and that theme is normalcy, which pre-pandemic would sound horribly boring. No one would ever want to talk about that. Why would they? But now I think is something we're all craving. I mean, I know so many of us wish life could be the way it was before the pandemic when, I mean, some of the tougher decisions in life was which Spice Girl to be for Halloween. Okay, I mean, maybe that was more specifically a me thing, but speaking of, I'm going to get into how I'm feeling about Halloween this year and later reveal to you something I'm really looking forward to that's coming up very quickly in the next few months. But first, I've got your DC Focus, where I went out and did something normal, and I want to tell you about it. DC Focus is coming up next on All Things with Alex right here on Riot Radio. Stick around. Get out on your way, live in the magic
today. Campus life and regional stories about people and places. What's happening in Durham Region? This is DC Focus on Riot Radio.
Last Friday night, I did something I haven't done in almost 2 years. I went and saw live sports. I tossed on my DC sweatshirt, grabbed a mask, and headed over to Vasos Field to watch the Durham Lords take on the St. Lawrence Surge in a men's soccer game. I live only about a 5-minute drive from Vasos Field and yet have never been there before. Of course, with the pandemic last year, I wasn't able to come to campus at all, and as much as I was attending Durham College, I didn't feel very much school spirit or even school pride. But going to the game last Friday got me feeling all sorts of pride, and on top of that, Durham won. As a spectator, it was a really wholesome experience. Just to be able to come out and support the school and have some free fun on a Friday night. But I was curious what it was like from a player's perspective to be on the receiving end of all the cheering and excitement, so I spoke to Durham Lords goalkeeper Garrett Werner about how he feels being able to play in front of people again.
I mean, the more people that come out, the better. It's honestly a great feeling. I think it makes a great atmosphere for everybody playing, because when you do something good and everybody's cheering for you, it just makes you feel really good.
There's a lot of talk these days about things feeling normal again, or getting back to life before the pandemic. And having the opportunity to go and do things like go to a college soccer game is something I don't take for granted. It was so nice and normal and felt so rewarding to be able to indulge in something so wholesome. I can't recommend going out and seeing a game more. It was so much fun. For more information on the Durham Lords schedule, you can head to durhamlords.com. This has been your DC Focus. Coming up next on All Things with Alex, we're shifting gears and talking Halloween plans.
You're listening to the broadcasting for radio and contemporary media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
He did the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the Monster Mash.
Did you know that song came out in 1962? What a classic. I can't believe it's been around for that long, but I mean, I guess that's why they call it a classic. Speaking of Halloween, today marks 19 days until Halloween is here. And I don't know how I feel about it. You know, last year we still tried to get in the Halloween spirit. We dressed up the house, got a candy bowl ready, we even dressed up as Sully and Boo from Monsters, Inc. But we only had 3 trick-or-treaters, and it felt so weird. Unlike last year, where trick-or-treating and Halloween celebrations were just flat-out canceled, this year the Ontario government has advised that trick-or-treating can happen, and indoor parties can have up to 25 guests. So, what are you thinking? Do you think you'll celebrate Halloween this year in some shape or form? Or does the idea of that still kind of freak you out? Personally, I don't know. I've never been a huge Halloween person to begin with, and I'm still not feeling too good about indoor gatherings with the Delta variant floating around. In the past few years, I've honestly had way more fun staying in and handing out candy to the little ones than going out and partying. But I mean, regardless of what I end up doing, I'm just so glad that they've advised trick-or-treating can be safely done this year. I think a lot about how tough the pandemic has been on me, a fully grown adult. I can't imagine the toll it's taken on kids, and I'm just so happy that we can at least give them trick-or-treating this year. My partner and I, Luca, we're pretty big homebodies. I'm sure over the next 2 weeks we're probably going to be hemming and hawing over what we should do for plans. But if I'm being honest, I know we'll probably just end up staying in and eating Halloween candy on the couch waiting for kids. I'm not going to lie, that actually sounds pretty good, so that's the plan. We've got 19 days until Halloween. What will you be doing? We've got more All Things with Alex coming up next after the break.
Morning face. You get it when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks. Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry. Save the children. Save them.
What?
Stay back. I've got mace.
Ow, that went in my eyes.
Quit moving.
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA, love your home.
You're listening to the broadcasting for radio and contemporary media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
Welcome back to All Things with Alex. Alex Cairns here. I've got a question for you. Who's got 2 thumbs and an indescribable excitement for all things Olympic related? Well, if you guessed me, you'd be right. I'm a massive fan of the Olympics. I honestly can't believe I'm going to be able to witness not one, but 2 in less than the span of a year. It's so crazy. I mean, in terms of summer versus winter, there's no competition. In my heart, it's winter all the way. I mean, we've got skiing, snowboarding, speed skating, luge. Do you remember, what was it called? Ski ballet. Ugh, I miss ski ballet. I gotta say, my personal favorite event, though, is hockey. Last week, it was announced that the USA had started naming players to the national men's hockey team. They've got Chicago's Patrick Kane and Seth Jones, and of course they've got my personal favorite Toronto Maple Leaf All-Star Austin Matthews. I'm so excited! The NHL and NHLPA reached an agreement with the IIHF to play in the Olympics again. It was missing. This extreme high level of competition was truly missing, and it's going to be so exciting to see it again. Team Canada has not made any announcements pertaining to a roster yet. However, I think that they'll follow in the USA's footsteps and start making some selections soon. Picture this. Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid, and Mitch Marner together on one line. I know. It's going to be crazy. My love of the Winter Olympic Games started way back when I was a kid. I remember watching Salt Lake City when I was 7, and both the men and women's hockey teams took gold that year. It was just so exciting. In more recent games, I've really come to love ice dance too, though. I'm a big fan of Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer. I think they're just the best. I remember exactly where I was standing when they won gold in Vancouver and when they won gold again in Pyeongchang 4 years ago. I even bought tickets to Stars on Ice that year. Even though the Winter Games are still a few months away, I don't think it's too early to build hype and get excited. I mean, in a world where things can be so heavy and scary, it's just a little piece of joy I like to hold on to. So what do you think? Am I absolutely insane for being excited about the Winter Olympics before there's even snow on the ground? Or am I just human? Regardless, if you need me, I'll be refreshing my Twitter feed until they announce the men's national hockey team. Ugh, I can't wait. I went walking in the bright sunshine. It was bringing in a brand new day. Well, that's the show for this week. Thank you so much for listening and hanging out. Once again, I'd like to thank Garrett Warner of the DC Lords men's soccer team for talking to me. And guess what? He's also in the broadcasting program, so he's got a great show you can listen to here on Riot Radio as well. Thanks again for joining me. I hope you have a great week, and I look forward to sharing more things with you next week. This has been All Things with Alex. I'm Alex Cairns. Take it easy.
This is Riot Radio News.
Hello, I'm Mitchell Pellerin. This is what's making news this hour. Ontario has reported 390 new cases of COVID-19, bringing it down from yesterday's 424. These lower cases bring the 7-day rolling average of cases from 576 to now 525. In other news, after months of searching for a new police chief, Durham has finally found one. Patrice Andrews, Morrisville's police chief since 2016, has been approved as Durham's chief of police. Patrice has a lot of experience as an officer, as she started as a patrol officer back in 1995. A high school in Etobicoke has been the first school to close their in-person learning due to a COVID-19 outbreak. According to Toronto Public Health, there were a confirmed 11 cases in the outbreak. Students at Silverthorne Collegiate Institute have now been limited to online learning and are all recommended for testing. In sports, the Toronto Raptors are continuing their preseason success with a win over the Houston Rockets 107-92 last night. The Raptors are an even 2-2 and face off against Washington tonight at 7 p.m. In hockey, the Leafs are set to play the Montreal Canadiens in the inaugural game for the 2021-22 season tomorrow night at the Scotiabank Arena. The Leafs are expected to be without star Austin Matthews for at least the first 3 games, with head coach Sheldon Keefe saying he's not that far away. Riot Radio weather today is a high of 21 and a mix of sun and clouds. Later tonight, we will reach our low of 15. There's a 60% chance of rain expected around 5 p.m. that will continue throughout the rest of the night. Moving on to tomorrow, there's a high of 20 and a low of 15 with overhead cloud. It's currently 20 degrees and sunny. For Riot Radio News, I'm Mitchell Pellerin. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Mitchell Pellerin, and I am the host for Campus Call-Ups, a show where we discuss Ontario professional sports news. On today's episode, we discuss the Durham Lords' past week in the sports on DC Focus, followed by a breakdown of the Leafs' first game of the season and some MLB postseason talk.
You're listening to the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
On DC Focus this week, the Durham Lords men's baseball team faced off against George Brown in the home finale for the regular season, winning Game 1 8-0 and Game 2 6-3. The team's record now sits at a comfortable 6-5 conference record and a 7-8 overall record. Sticking on the field, the women's softball team continued their late season losing spree, losing their third and fourth game in a row as they took on Humber College in a doubleheader, losing Game 1 6-1 and Game 2 3-2. The team is sitting at an even 6-6 for their conference and a 6-7 for their overall record. Going to the soccer pitch, where the women's soccer team came away with a draw against St. Lawrence College, who is one of the league's strongest teams with a record of 5-0 going into the game. The team is now 3-2-1 for their conference and 3-2-2 overall. The men's soccer team lost their matchup against Centennial College after allowing three consecutive goals in the second half after being up 2-0 going into the final few minutes of the game. Men's soccer is now 3-2-0 in their conference and 4-3-0 overall. The Men's Athlete of the Week goes to men's soccer and fellow broadcasting student Garrett Werner for his performance and goal in the team's previous win against St. Lawrence, tallying 9 total saves in the 3-1 win. For the Women's Player of the Week, Nikki Bradshaw, a first-year firefighting student who kept the women's soccer team in the game against the 4th-ranked offense of St. Lawrence in the 0-0 tie. Congrats to both goalies on their big games and the awards. That's DC Focus right here on Riot Radio. Welcome back to Campus Call-Ups. I'm your host, Mitchell Pellerin. The Toronto Maple Leafs are prepared to start their season against longtime rivals, the Montreal Canadiens. The Leafs face off against Montreal after their postseason loss to them last year in the first round. With the Leafs going into this home opener against Montreal, they try to copy off last season's home opener against the same team where they took the W. The only issue this year is that they're going to be without their star player, Auston Matthews, as he's out with an injury. Matthews is only supposed to miss the first 3 games of the season, but has been practicing with the team in a different color jersey to avoid body contact. Here's what I believe the Leafs can look forward to this season. With the Leafs making some changes, they still have a similar lineup as they did last year. Excluding Joe Thornton, the Leafs roster looks the same, and if they take from what they learned last year, they have a very good chance of making it farther into the playoffs or even to the Stanley Cup Finals. I believe that with the Leafs captain John Tavares, Mitch Marner, William Nylander, and their new goalie Peter Mrazek in the net, the Leafs can have some success in their first coming games without star forward Auston Matthews. Although it's going to be a lot tougher since Matthews was their leading goal scorer. Something to watch out for, though, is that Mitch Marner has been practicing throughout the summer, not only on his shot, but on his dekes and whatever else he needs to do to put the puck in the back of the net, he says. Marner expects to be a goal scorer this year, as well as being a playmaker, I guess. But last year, he was strictly just focused on making a lot of nice passes and focusing on getting the assist. He missed out on a lot of chances where he could have just put the puck in the net and scored the Leafs a bunch of key goals. That's just what I believe for this year. You can watch the Leafs season opener tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Although the Jays didn't make the postseason this year, postseason baseball is still the best baseball to watch. Last night, the Boston Red Sox defeated the Tampa Bay Rays 6-5, moving on to the ALCS Finals, where they will face either the Chicago White Sox or the Houston Astros. The game last night was very exciting and even included a walk-off home run to send the Red Sox to the ALCS. Currently, Houston is winning the series 2-1 over the White Sox, and they are playing today at 2:07. In the series, due to the Astros' recent scandal, where they were accused and actually were proved to be cheating, White Sox manager has now accused them of doing the same sort of cheats in previous games of the series. It's funny because the Astros were accused of cheating for stealing signs. Meanwhile, when the Jays were playing against the Tampa Bay Rays, Kevin Kiermaier actually took one of the cheat sheets that the Jays have to like scout all the players and all the batters, and it wasn't a big deal. That's just my thoughts on the whole issue. Moving on to the National League now, though. The Milwaukee Brewers are playing against the Atlanta Braves, where Atlanta is up in the series 2-1. Tonight, Atlanta looks to defeat Milwaukee and move on to the NLCS, where they will play either San Francisco Giants or the LA Dodgers. In my opinion, the battle between the Dodgers and the Giants is one of the best series in baseball to date. Both teams are very well structured and have an all-star player at every position. My predictions for the World Series this year is going to be the Houston Astros versus the San Francisco Giants. Although both teams will have to defeat two very good baseball clubs, I think that these teams can pull through and make a very interesting playoff series. It's going to be tough to decide who will actually win the World Series this year, because it's hard to tell which team has the advantage. But if I was to choose, I would say the Houston Astros. I think that the Astros are on a revenge tour right now, and if they keep pushing, that I think they're going to try and prove everyone wrong. Well, thanks for listening. See you next time on Campus Call-Ups on Riot Radio.
This is Riot Radio News.
I'm David Molnar. This is what's making news this hour. Texas governor bans COVID-19 vaccine mandates, including private businesses. Texas Governor Greg Abbott issued an executive order on Monday to prohibit anyone from enforcing a COVID-19 vaccine mandate on workers and encourage other lawmakers to do so as well. The decision comes as Joe Biden is set to issue rules requiring employers with more than 100 workers to ensure their employees are vaccinated or tested weekly for the coronavirus. Several major companies, including Texas-based American Airlines and Southwest Airlines, have said they would abide by the federal mandate. Abbott says that no employees or consumers has to show proof of vaccination if they object to the vaccine, whether it's for personal reasons or religious beliefs. Although vaccines are not mandatory, the governor still encourages people to get the vaccine. The decision comes as next year's Republican primary approaches and Governor Greg Abbott faces pressure from two other candidates. Don Huffins and Alan West both have put pressure on Abbott about vaccine mandates. He knows which way the wind is blowing. He knows conservative Republican voters are tired of vaccine mandates and tired of him being a failed leader, Huffins tweeted. Alan West is hospitalized right now with coronavirus but still opposes the vaccine mandate. In sports, the Toronto Raptors are coming off another preseason victory over the Houston Rockets. The Raptors won with a score of 107-92. Leading the way in the scoring column was OG Anunoby, scoring 17 points, shooting 50%. Newly acquired center Precious Achiuwa also had 17 points to go along with 5 rebounds. The Raptors will be finishing off their preseason tonight against the Washington Wizards. The Toronto Maple Leafs start their regular season this week against the Montreal Canadiens at home. Unfortunately for Toronto, they will be without their star forward Austin Matthews, who is dealing with a wrist injury, and Ilya Mikheyev, who broke his hand during the preseason. Riot Radio weather. The forecast today is a mix of sun and clouds, with 40% chance of showers late this afternoon with the risk of a thunderstorm. The high is 21 and will be getting down to a low of 15 tonight. The forecast for tomorrow is cloudy with a 30% chance of showers, with a high of 22 and getting down to a low of 14. It's currently 20 degrees. For Riot Radio News, I'm David Molnar. Welcome to The Kickback. I'm your host, David Molnar. On today's show, we will be discussing Houston rapper Don Toliver's second studio album, Life of Don, and previewing the Toronto Raptors ahead of the 2021-2022 NBA season. That's all coming up today on The Kickback on Riot Radio.
campus life and regional stories about people and places. What's happening in Durham Region? This is DC Focus on Riot Radio.
This week on DC Focus, Pickering seals a deal with a developer to secure land for a potential hospital. Although this sounds like a good plan, many residents are opposed to the idea. The City Council of Pickering wants a new Lake Ridge Health Hospital located near Salem Road and Highway 407, but is also up against Oshawa and Whitby, which will be decided by an expert panel to make the decision. At a City Council meeting on October 6th, a resident told this council that building on Caruthers Creek would destroy the normal flow of the creek and threaten buildings and roads in their path. This could be a problem for Ajax, who is downstream from Caruthers Creek and could be impacted by the headwaters if development happens. The area is owned by Dorsey Limited, who plans on having major development in the area. They will donate the land to the City of Pickering, but will not pay for any expenses of this development. Mayor Dave Ryan says this is the necessary step in order for Pickering to put forward its bid to Lake Ridge. Ward 1 Regional Councillor Kevin Ashley said that the TRCA Board of Directors in the Durham region have all approved the Caruthers Creek Watershed Plan in the last 30 days. He believes that any problems with this development will be mitigated. Besides what was said during the meeting, the city is unable to speak further on the matter. The development seems like a good idea, but a group called Landover Landing seemed to disagree. They noted that this site is on prime farmland and will have to create completely new infrastructure to allow development in the area. Mayor Dave Ryan says there is a lot of misinformation regarding the development, and these comments made by groups like Landover Landing are detrimental to democracy as a whole. That's DC Focus right here on Riot Radio.
You're listening to the broadcasting for radio and contemporary media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
Welcome back to The Kickback. I'm your host, David Molnar. Cactus Jack artist Don Tolliver dropped his second studio album this past Friday called Life of Don. Don Tolliver blew up onto the hip-hop scene in 2020 with his first studio album, Heaven or Hell, which features his songs such as No Idea and Can't Feel My Legs. Although the album marked the beginning of his mainstream success, Tolliver has been dropping songs since 2017 with his hit song Diva that really put the Houston rapper on the map. In 2018, Don dropped his first mixtape called Donnie Womack, and shortly after the success of that project, he was signed by Travis Scott to Cactus Jack Records. Life of Don continues Don Tolliver's mainstream success, with each song on the album already reaching a million streams on Spotify just in the first weekend since the album's release. Although the album was released on October 8th, Don has dropped multiple singles that feature on the album leading up to its release. Drugs and Hella Melodies and What You Need were both dropped as singles before and have both had massive success. Not only have both songs had millions of streams, but both music videos have combined for 20 million views on YouTube. Life of Don is a longer album than Heaven or Hell, with a runtime of 51 minutes and 34 seconds, with a total of 16 songs, but include the same amount of features. Travis Scott is the only repeat feature from the last album, appearing on You and Flocky Flocky. The other features were Kali Uchis, Baby Keem, HVN, and Sofago. Life of Don is another solid Don Tolliver album and features multiple songs that I could listen to on repeat. My favorite songs on this album were Escape, Way Bigger, Flocky Flocky, 2AM, Get Throwed, and You, not including the singles that were already released earlier this year. Escape is a great intro song that sounds like could have sampled the mariachi band, but ends with a heavy use of synthesizers. Way Bigger is a great song with so many layers to the beat, you notice a different part of the track with every listen, and has a super catchy chorus. Flocky Flocky features Travis Scott, and the duo continues to release hits with another great track. You also features Travis, but I enjoy Flocky Flocky more since it's a more upbeat song, and I find the beat is more complex. Don Tolliver's melodic songs can get repetitive, and early in his career, I find he still thrives making club songs. I would say the song I found to be the most surprisingly good was Get Throwed. Don goes with a West Coast type beat that may be out of his comfort zone, but the song is a hit. Life of Don, I think, lived up to the expectations, and it's great to see a young artist like Don Tolliver continue to have this much success early in his career.
You're listening to the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
Welcome back to The Kickback. I'm your host, David Molnar. It has now been over 2 years since the Toronto Raptors won their first championship with Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry. Now with Kyle heading to Miami, most of the core players on that roster are no longer in Toronto anymore. This year will mark the start of a new era in Raptors basketball with a lot of fresh faces and a team with something to prove. Last season was the first time the Raptors missed the playoffs since the 2012-13 season. A mix of injury problems and a weaker team than years past, the Raptors failed to live up to what has become their usual level of success. Now that the DeRozan and Lowry era has finally come to an end, Toronto looks to start a new generation of competitive championship caliber rosters. This year, there are many exciting players on this team, including a top 5 draft pick from this past draft. It seems like Toronto's found their new face of the franchise with newly drafted forward Scotty Barnes. Scotty is coming off a very good season with Florida State, who finished second in the ACC this past season. The Raptors hope he will contribute heavily on defense, locking up opponents, top players, and adding another scoring option on offense. Another exciting rookie to watch this season is Toronto's very own Delano Banton. Banton grew up in Rexdale, where he would become one of the most prominent hoopers coming out of the city. He was drafted in the second round in this past draft after spending time in Nebraska during his collegiate years. Besides their rookies, Toronto has added some pieces to their roster that could very well change the dynamic of this team. During the regular season, Toronto made a move to trade for Gary Trent Jr., a two-way guard now going into his third year in the NBA. Gary showed a lot of promise this past year, having a standout scoring performance, and could be a lock for the starting shooting guard this season. The Raptors are starting this season off with numerous injuries, including Chris Boucher, Pascal Siakam, and Utah Watanabe. With so many new players, it will be interesting to see how this team will come together as a unit and build chemistry throughout this season. Toronto has already started its preseason and will continue it on October 12th. Their first regular season game is October 20th against the Washington Wizards. Hopefully Nick Nurse will find a way to get the best out of this new roster and return Toronto Raptors back to the playoffs. That concludes the Kickback. The hip-hop scene continues to grow in the city of Houston, and Don Toliver has become a staple of Southern hip-hop. Life of Don will probably go down as one of his best projects and continue to show the growth of Don Toliver. A completely new look to this Toronto Raptors squad will surely be entertaining this season with so much young talent. Toronto will rely early on this year with their young core to help them stay competitive while players slowly come back from injuries. I hope everyone enjoyed sitting back, relaxing, and listening to The Kickback. Thanks for listening. See you next week on The Kickback on Riot Radio.
This is Riot Radio News.
Hello, I'm Shivang, and this is What Making News This Hour. The World Health Organization on Monday recommended that immunocompromised people will be given an additional dose of COVID-19 vaccine due to their high risk of breakthrough infections after standard immunization. The WHO's strategic advisory group of experts on immunization said that the additional dose should be offered as a part of the extended primary series, since this individuals are less likely to respond adequately to vaccination following a standard primary vaccination series and are at higher risk of severe COVID-19 diseases. The WHO panel also recommended that people over 60 receive an additional dose of the shots made by Chinese vaccine makers, one of the 3 months after completing their schedule, citing evidence and studies in Latin America that they perform less well over time. Well, coming to sports, Toronto Raptors center Cambridge said that he and his family had recovered from COVID-19. The Montreal native spoke to media on Monday about catching the novel coronavirus. Bird said that he and his family arrived in Toronto on September 18 with his family, and within the week they had all tested positive for the virus. He said that he has lost the sense of taste while sick and struggled with fatigue, but he believes he can get back to the game quickly. The Raptors team is now fully vaccinated against COVID-19. Toronto has its regular season home opener on 20th of October against the Washington Wizards. Coming to weather, the weather will be sunny with a high of 22 degrees and a low of 18 degrees. Tomorrow, there is a 60% chance of rain with a high of 22 degrees and a low of 18. Wednesday will be cloudy with a high of 20 and a low of 16. With the Riot Radio, I'm Shivang Brahmer. Hello and welcome to my show Easy Busy. My name is Shivang and you are listening to me on Riot Radio. Well, On DC Focus this week, I'll be talking about the active cases that are present in Durham schools and the mental health of an average human being. So stay tuned with me. My name is Shivang and you're listening to Riot Radio.
Campus life and regional stories about people and places. What's happening in Durham region? This is DC Focus on Riot Radio.
Hello and welcome to my show Easy Peasy. My name is Shivang and you are listening to my show Easy Peasy on Riot Radio. Well, today I'm going to talk about on DC Focus will be the active cases in Durham College. The rate of new COVID-19 cases and the outbreaks in Durham schools is slowing as the fourth wave shows sign of receding. As of October 9th, there are 38 active COVID cases in Durham schools and 4 active outbreaks, including a new outbreak declared at Adelaide PS in Oshawa. One school in Durham remains closed. Leo Clary Catholic School in Curtis was closed due to in-person learning on September 25th. As the result of escalating outbreak, the most recent numbers are down from 60 active school cases and 8 outbreaks 10 days ago on September 29th. The local school data is in line with the trends that show the fourth wave is slowing down at the provincial and national levels. Modeling released that on September 28th by Ontario COVID-19 Science Advisory Table indicates that the fourth wave has flattened due to the public health measures. Although the data shows cases in children increasing, by mid-October 2020, a total number of 73 COVID cases had been reported at schools in Durham this year. The number is 161 as of October 9th. Well, that's it for DC Focus. I am Shivang. You're listening to me on my show Easy Peasy only on Riot Radio. Stay tuned with me because I'm going to talk about the average mental health of a human being.
You're listening to the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
Hello and welcome to my show Easy Peasy. Well, today I'm going to talk about the mental issues that can happen in an average human being. With that, I'm going to talk more about the mental illness. How does the mental illness impact a youth? When it comes to mental illness, youth is a critical period. Most of people living with a mental illness see their symptoms before 18. Approximately 20% of Canadian youth are affected by a mental illness or disorder. In 2011, 11% of 15 to 24 years old reported experiencing depression between 2008 and 2009, and 2018-19 among youth there were 61% increase in emergency department visits and 60% increase in hospitalizations for mental disorders. Suicide is the second leading cause of death among youth and youth adults between 15 to 34 years. In Canada, only 1 out of 5 children receive appropriate mental health services. 1 in 5 Canadians screened positive for symptoms of depression, anxiety, or mental disorder. Young adults age 18 to 24 most likely report to symptoms of depression, anxiety, and stress disorder. The prevalence of the positive screens for major depression disorder, generalized anxiety disorder, and probable PTSD were over 3 example. 25% of young adults age 18 to 24 screen positive for the major depressive disorder, compared with 7% of adults age 65 and older. A similar pattern was observed for the proportion of positive screens for generalized anxiety disorder was 21% versus 7%, and the probable PTSD will be 11% versus 3%. Overall, almost 1 in 4 women, that is 24%, screen positive for at least one disorder, compared with 17% of men. The higher rates for women compared with men were consistent across all 3 disorders when this were considered individually as well. Well, if I want to talk about the international students that are present here in Canada, or anyone who is not living with their parents, I would likely say that their depression, anxiety, and the stress order will get eventually higher and higher because the bills that are being due in some days or due to some reasons, there are some mental disorders, stress, and anxiety due to which every international student or maybe the person or the individual who is living away from the parents feel it. So I would here like to talk more about this. All disease will cause you a major outbreak, but talking with your parents will help you solve a lot of things that you are going through. If you are going through a breakup or if you are going through a bad academics, if you talk to your parents, they will advise you with their good or bad experiences. So I would tell you that once in a week, once in a 2 days or once in a 3 days, just talk to your parents about the problems you feel that you want to talk, or just talk every problem with your parents or with your friends. See, sharing problems can actually solve problems, because you might not know what the third person or the second person have the perspective about their specific issues. So talk more about your problems and talk less about your happiness, because in this world there is less happiness and more problems. So try to talk more about your problems with your friends or with your parents as well. That is all for this week. You're listening to my show Easy Peasy, and you stay tuned with me on Right Radio. I'm Shivang. Stay tuned with me.
You're listening to DC Broadcasting, podcast produced by the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College.
This is Riot Radio News.
I'm Sean Tinker. This is what's making news this hour. An elementary school in Oshawa is dealing with a COVID outbreak. Adelaide McLaughlin Public School reported 2 positive cases on Tuesday, October 12th. There are now 4 active outbreaks in the Durham region. In Oshawa, 2 men are in custody after a double stabbing took place late Monday night. Police were called to Center Street and Hall Street area in Oshawa, where they found 2 men with non-life-threatening injuries. The 2 men found were charged with multiple assault charges, but were released on undertakings. The United States announced that they will be accepting vaccinated travelers. The CDC confirmed this, but said the U.S. has to approve which vaccines first. The new travel rules will take effect next month. In sports, the NHL regular season is set to start on Tuesday, with the newest team, Seattle Kraken, taking on the Vegas Golden Knights in a battle of the expansion teams. The Leafs start their season Wednesday, when they will be taking on the Montreal Canadiens. Austin Matthews will not be suiting up for the first 3 games as he is still recovering from his off-season wrist surgery. In baseball news, the Boston Red Sox are advancing to the next round of playoffs after ousting the Tampa Bay Rays in 4 games. Riot Radio weather for today is going to be a high of 20 degrees with a mix of sun and clouds. For tonight, there will be a low of 14 degrees with on and off rain. Tomorrow is going to be mainly sunny with temperatures reaching a high of 19 degrees. It is currently 18 degrees. For Riot Radio, I'm Sean Tinker.
Let's get down to business. Give you one more night to get this.
Hello everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Level Change. I'm your host, Sean Tinker. This week on Level Change, we'll be taking a look at the historical Tyson Fury vs. Deontay Wilder boxing match that took place over the weekend. I will also be going over my thoughts on the Toronto Raptors squad and how I think they will do this upcoming season. We'll also have a look at a cool event going on at Durham College. All this and much more on Level Change.
Campus life and regional stories about people and places. What's happening in Durham region? This is DC Focus on Riot Radio.
For DC Focus this week, I'll be letting you all know about a great event taking place at Durham College very soon. On Thursday, October 13th, Durham College will be hosting a Build Your Own Distress Kit workshop. This event is a part of the Durham College Better Together series, which are events that help students make connections. This workshop uses dialectical behavior therapy, which is a type of cognitive therapy that uses distress tolerance, emotion regulation, mindfulness, and interpersonal effectiveness to enhance your life skills. The main goal of this workshop is to help people manage their emotional trauma. The event will be taking place over Zoom on Wednesday 13th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and the link will be sent out an hour before the event. Students that attend will also be entered in a draw for a prize. This event is great if you want to gain life skills to lead to a happy and sustainable life, so sign up and have fun.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating but scared to kick reality.
Man, you've been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
I'm expressing with my full capabilities.
This past Saturday, the boxing world got to witness a trilogy fight that is being compared to the greatest bouts of all time. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder went head-to-head in the third fight between the two men. Both fights leading up to this were barn burners that had many twists and turns. The first fight ended in a controversial draw, and the second ended in a TKO win for Fury. This fight was a circus even before both men stepped in the ring. From Wilder wearing his infamous bejeweled mask and robe, to Tyson Fury looking like he was falling asleep in his locker room before the fight. But when both men stepped in the ring, it was business as usual. From the start of the fight, Wilder was unloading his classic cannon of a right hand, looking for the early knockout, while Fury was taking his time and fielding Wilder out. By the second round, things got interesting when Fury dropped Wilder to the mat early, but Wilder answered back with two knockdowns of his own to finish the round. Fury wasn't fazed, though, and went on to dominate the majority of the fight, beating on an extremely fatigued Wilder. By the 10th round, things took an exciting turn when Fury landed a beautiful combo, which sent Wilder plummeting to the floor. Wilder was able to get up and make it to the end of the round, but you could tell he wasn't fully with it. In the 11th round, Fury pounced on his battered opponent and cleanly knocked him out with a solid left hook that ended the fight in glorious fashion. Fury was a gracious victor, thanking his faith to carry him through this fight, as well as belting out a surprisingly good song for the fans at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. This fight was one for the record books, and I'm just glad I got to witness history live. Stay tuned for my Raptors preview coming up next. The 2021 NBA season is right around the corner, and with fans back in the arena, it's finally going to feel like the normal NBA. I want to take a look at my Toronto Raptors and how I feel about the roster and how they match up against the Eastern Conference. Let's start by taking a look at the guard positions. It's no surprise that the loss of longtime Raptors leader Kyle Lowry is still looming large with this team. Lowry's all-or-nothing play style and maniacal leadership will truly be missed. But with Van Vliet learning from the best, I have faith that Freddie can fill that void nicely. For the shooting guard position, Gary Trent Jr., who just signed a big deal, is due to take a big step in his progression this season. The already lethal shooter said he's been working on the defensive side of the ball more this offseason to fit more into the playstyle of the team. At the small forward position, OG Anunoby is looking to take the next step in his career as well. He's looked great so far in preseason, so let's just hope my pick for most improved player can have a strong year. At power forward, we have Pascal Siakam looking to bounce back from a subpar year. I'm also looking for Siakam to be more of a leader this year. After all, he wants to be the guy, so now's a great opportunity to show it. For the center position, it's kind of interesting. The Raptors could go many different ways with this. They have proven solid big man Khem Birch to rely on when they need stability, but they also have uber-athletic Precious Achiuwa that can add some spunk to an already high-octane playstyle. The Raptors also have an ace up their sleeve in Scotty Barnes. The recent 4th overall pick is a unicorn, in that he's 6'9" and can play every position. He's got the shot, he's got the passing, the defense, and most of all, the high IQ many rookies don't possess. I'm expecting big things this year. I think they can solidify themselves as a top six team in the East and make a big push in the playoffs. Last season was a one-off. Now is when they'll make things happen. Thanks for listening. See you next week on Level Change on Riot Radio.
This is Riot Radio News.
I'm Hayden Lamarant, and this is what's making news this hour. With over 1 million doses administered, the Durham Region Health Department has reached a significant COVID-19 vaccination milestone. As of October 7th, a total of 1,100 doses have been administered to Durham Region residents and workers. Vaccinations were provided in several settings, including community vaccination clinics, pop-up clinics, mobile clinics, and pharmacies. The province has set aside just more than $1.4 million to enhance staffing levels at long-term care facilities in Pickering and Uxbridge. The announcement on October 7th is part of Ontario's plan to provide up to $270 million in 2021 to increase staffing at long-term care facilities across the province. The goal is to ensure that residents receive 4 hours of direct care every day on average by 2024-25. In sports, the NHL season kicks off tonight with the Stanley Cup champions, the Tampa Bay Lightning, taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the newly Seattle Kraken taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. The Boston Red Sox have defeated the Tampa Bay Rays in 4 games to advance to the American League Championship Series. Monday Night Football was last night, and Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens defeated the Indianapolis Colts 31-25. Riot Radio weather, today is a high of 22 with tonight being a low of 16. And tomorrow, a high of 22 with a low of 16. Right now it's currently 22. I'm Hayden Lamarant for Riot Radio News. Hey, I'm Hayden Lamarant, and coming up on Hanging with Hayden, I'll share with you some help you can get to improve your academic writing and DC focus. Also, I'll talk about this awesome show on Netflix that you might have seen. And finally, I'll go over your Week 5 NFL recap and highlights. That's all coming up on Hanging with Hayden.
Campus life and regional stories about people and places. What's happening in Durham Region? This is DC Focus on Riot Radio.
This week on DC Focus, the Durham College Student Academic Learning Services are putting on virtual workshops to help you with your academic writing. These workshops are running throughout the year, and you can register for any workshop at any time. Some of the workshops the Student Academic Learning Services are putting on include editing skills, grammar matters, and an essay writing series, plus tons more. Now, as someone like me who struggles with writing essays and papers, I'm probably going to join a few of these workshops. I think if I take some of the workshops, a few of my professors will thank me later. For more information and to register, head over to www.durhamcollege.ca/SALS. And don't worry if you miss a workshop that you're interested in. The Student Academic Learning Services put on the same workshops multiple times throughout the year. That's DC Focus, right here on Riot Radio. Coming up on Hanging with Hayden, we're going to talk about probably one of the biggest Netflix shows ever made.
You're listening to the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk, right here on Riot Radio.
I'm Hayden Lamarant, and welcome to Hanging with Hayden. So, I think we can agree that the biggest show out right now is Squid Game, right? I recently watched the show, and I gotta say, I loved it from start to finish. Even though the first couple episodes are a little slow, and you don't know what the heck's going on, they were still so good. Now, if you're not sure what Squid Game is about, it's basically adults playing kid games for money, but with a bit of a twist. Now, I can't say much more because I don't want to spoil this too much, just in case you haven't seen it. And if you haven't seen it, go watch it right now. continue listening, then go watch it. It is probably one of the best shows I've seen. And as a suggestion, I think you should watch it with the English dub, because the show is from South Korea. And if you're like me, you don't understand a lick of Korean, or don't want to read subtitles the whole time. But if you do speak or understand Korean, or like to read subtitles all the time, go for it. Personally, I think the show is going to win big awards in both South Korea and North America. Because Squid Game is probably one of, or if not, the biggest show on Netflix in a long time, or even ever. It's even bigger than Tiger King, The Last Dance, and any of the shows that came up the first time of quarantine that everybody watched all the time. It's even bigger than those shows. Now, I hope they come out with season 2 of Squid Game, and we don't have to wait 2 years or longer, because the show is just so good, and I'm super excited about it. Coming up on Hanging with Hayden, we'll have your NFL Week 5 recap and highlights.
You're listening to the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
I'm Hayden Lamarant, and we are back with Hanging with Hayden. It's time for your NFL Week 5 recap and highlights. Now, going back to the first game of the week, Thursday, we have the Seattle Seahawks versus the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams did win. I forget the score. Should have looked it up, but I didn't. Sadly for Seattle, I believe they lost, but sadly Russell Wilson injured with that hand injury. Don't know how long he's going to be out for. Might be a season ending. Going to Sunday morning bright and early, 9:30 a.m., you had the New York Jets versus the Atlanta Falcons in London, England. Now, if I was putting two teams to play in London or anywhere, I'd want two good teams that would get us viewings right in the morning at 9:30 a.m. I would want to see Tom Brady in the Bucks versus Pat Mahomes in the Chiefs, you know? But sadly, we didn't. We had two pretty bad teams, and it was a rough one to watch. Also, there was a big rain delay between the Bills and Chiefs. Sadly, Chiefs lost. Bills won. It's gonna be a rough season for the Chiefs. You know, they do only have two good targets for Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Their defense is mediocre, so it's hard. Also, another game to highlight is that my Denver Broncos got defeated. And now they're on a two-game losing streak, and their record right now is 3-2. Then we go to the Monday Night Football game. That was an interesting game. So I play fantasy. I had Mark Andrews, the tight end for Baltimore. And when I checked the score, I needed 10 points to win. I checked at halftime, Mark Andrews only had 2 points. I checked at the end of the game, I won by 1 point. I was so happy. Another thing to note about Sunday, all 5 quarterbacks from the first round, like Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, and Justin Fields, they all played. Now, mind you, they all did lose, so that's pretty sad. And there's only one undefeated team still in the NFL, and that's the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins. That was some beautiful throws Sunday. Their defense isn't looking too bad with J.J. Watt. And I'm really excited for the rest of the season for to see all these teams. Hopefully some of the rookie quarterbacks get a win. I know the only one that has gotten a win is, I believe, Zach Wilson. If I'm not wrong, might have to look that one up. But I believe Zach Wilson is the only rookie quarterback with a win. But I can't wait to see what happens deeper into this season. I think it's going to be a wild rest of the season. And I'm ready, and I hope you are too. I'm Hayden Lamarant, and that's it for Hanging with Hayden this week on Riot Radio. Keep it locked onto Riot Radio for some more great stuff from some great people. Peace out.
This is Riot Radio News. I'm Gregory Gerard, and this is what's making news this hour. Something fishy at the U.S.-Canada border. A customs dispute has jeopardized the United States' supply of fish sticks and fillets. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency has said that the shipping method for Alaskan pollock, a key fish used in multiple food products, violates the country's Jones Act. The act requires all goods traveling between U.S. ports to be transported on U.S.-owned ships. However, the shippers currently use other methods to get the fish across the border quicker, leading to hefty fines and penalties. As a result, the fish have recently been prevented from crossing the border, and they are currently stuck in a cold storage facility in Canada. If the fish fail to get to the U.S. soon, then any processing plants that handle the fish will be forced to shut down until the fish get delivered, costing people money and potentially their jobs. Thankfully for the industry, a judge has signed an injunction to let the current 26 million pound storage of fish into the U.S., but if the dispute lasts much longer, the disruption to the supply chain could be permanent. In sports, a bunch of football and a bunch of comebacks to talk about. The holiday Monday kicked off at 1 o'clock with CFL action as the Montreal Alouettes beat the Ottawa Redblacks in a comeback, scoring a late touchdown to win 20-16. In the 4 o'clock game, the Toronto Argonauts also came back, this time defeating the Hamilton Tiger Cats 24-23 after a last-second field goal. Finally, the NFL had its Monday Night Football game, the Baltimore Ravens defeating the Indianapolis Colts. The Ravens orchestrated a 16-point comeback of their own in the fourth quarter to tie the game before walking it off in overtime. Final score, 31-25 Ravens. Riot Radio weather here. Today is looking like a mix. Mostly sunny with a chance of shower here and there. The temperature will be 22, feeling like 25. As we move into the evening and overnight, expect it to be mostly cloudy with some light and scattered showers. The temperature will be cooling off down to 18. Tomorrow, expect sun and cloud mix with a high of 20, feeling like 22. It is currently 20 degrees and sunny. For Riot Radio News, I'm Gregory Gerard. Hello and welcome to The Slinky, the show where we discuss random and interesting topics. I'm your host, Gregory Gerard. On today's show, we start with the weekly DC Focus segment where we cover stories from the Durham region and the Durham College campus. This week, we look at the story of Oshawa local Graham Clapp, a World War II veteran who celebrated his 102nd birthday yesterday. After that, we talk about this week's random topics, vending machine food, and why the show is named The Slinky. That's all coming up today on The Slinky on Riot Radio.
Campus life and regional stories about people and places. What's happening in Durham region? This is DC Focus on Riot Radio.
This week on DC Focus, a happy birthday to 102-year-old Graham Clapp of Oshawa. Clapp was born in South Wales in 1919, immigrating to Canada in 1926. In 1941, Clapp signed up with the 1st Special Service Force as a radio operator. The Service Force was an elite unit in World War II that was comprised of around 1,400 to 1,800 Canadians and Americans at any given time. The unit trained in Montana before being shipped out to serve in the Aleutian Islands and to fight in Italy and southern France. The unit was able to successfully capture several key positions over its time in Europe, and the unit's assault on Mont La Difensa in Italy was subsequently portrayed in the 1966 movie The Devil's Brigade. While I haven't seen the movie, after hearing about Clapp and after reading some more about the unit, I certainly want to. Also, did you know that Wolverine, yes, the comic character, is also reportedly a member of the brigade? That's how tough the unit was to fight against. They wanted Wolverine to be in it. The Germans also issued an order that any man who captured a member of the brigade was to get 10 days of leave. Clapp definitely picked the right group to be with. After the war, Clapp went and worked at the General Motors plant in Oshawa for 40 years. For his birthday, Clapp's nieces and nephews were able to form a special drive-by that included fellow veterans. Many other veterans who couldn't make the drive-by, along with current active members of the Canadian military, also wished Clapp a happy birthday on social media. As for myself, I would like to say thank you very much to Mr. Clapp for your service, and I hope you had a wonderful birthday. That's DC Focus right here on Riot Radio. Coming up after the break, we talk about vending machine food and the reason why it's so overpriced. Don't go away.
You're listening to the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
Hello and welcome back to The Slinky here on Riot Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Gerard. Today, we're talking about vending machine food and why it's so overpriced. Let's start by talking about vending machine food as a whole. I'm ignoring drinks for now because they're usually filled with brand products and very few are terrible. But why are ones that contain snacks so varied in their choices? In some places, you get great options filled with brand-name snacks of all kinds. In others, you get tuna fish and barbecue sauce packaged with crackers that tastes really bad. Or you get all-healthy options like 6 different varieties of trail mix. I mean, great, have some variety, but that's why there are so many slots in a machine. Fill the machines up with things I actually want to eat. It's bad enough I have to pay like $3 for a bag of chips that contain like 6 chips. I at least understand the pricing point sometimes. You can get away with charging high prices in certain areas, especially because there's no other options. But come on, $3 is still expensive for 6 chips. I mean, you want chips and a drink? Sorry, we only have vending machines. Better make the price, like $3, as I said. And oh yeah, no outside food or drink allowed. You want food, you gotta pay the vending machine money. It's a great tactic. You want to know where else they use it? That's right, stadiums! Ever wonder why drinks are like $7 to $12 and a simple hot dog costs $5 or more inside than what it is outside? It's because you literally have nowhere else to eat once you're inside. It's stadium food or bust. Outside, you can choose a ton of places, so getting a same-sized dog costs you a lot less. If you've got bad pricing outside, people will walk to find better and cheaper options. Inside, you either pay for the food or go hungry. The same thing happens with the vending machines. Drinks machines, as I mentioned, aren't quite as horrid for pricing depending on the drink you get, but you're still better off just going to a store if possible. You can get a 6-pack of drinks for the price of 2 out of the vending machine in most places. As I mentioned though, it's even worse for snacks. They sell the variety packs containing 20 to 30 of the vending machine sized bags for, you know, $5 to $10 at a Shopper's Drug Mart. And you get multiple kinds, and there are multiples of each type of chip. Meanwhile, 10 bucks at a machine gets me 3 to 4 bags that are barely bigger if not the same size. It probably still won't stop me from buying things out of the machines though, just have to be smart with what I pick. Wait, my after-show snack got stuck in the vending machine? Aw, come on! Although, I guess that is karma. While I figure out how to get my snack out of the machine, we're gonna send it to commercial. When we come back, I will hopefully have my snack extracted for post-show consumption, and we will talk about why I name my show The Slinky. Don't go anywhere!
You're listening to the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk, right here on Riot Radio.
Hello and welcome back to The Slinky here on Riot Radio. I'm Gregory Gerard. You'll be happy to know that I was able to get my snack out after it got stuck in the vending machine at the end of the last segment, and so now we can get on with our program. As promised, we're going to talk about why this show is named The Slinky, because it is a weird name for a show. Well, basically, the idea for the show was already there. The pitch was for a talk radio show where I talked about things happening in the Durham region, and then after that I got to add 2 segments of my own talking about whatever I wanted provided it followed the broadcasting laws. The only thing it was missing was a name. Now, I'm not the most creative person in the world, and so picking a name for the show was going to be difficult. That being said, I didn't want it to be something generic like The Greg Show, or The Talk Show, or something along those lines. I also didn't want it to be complicated or hard to remember, like the radio show on the airwaves on Riot Radio. And none of the suggestions I was given I really liked. So then I took the time to look around my house. Objects here, objects there, objects literally everywhere. And yet nothing I saw gave me inspiration. Close to giving up, I decided to return to my room. And there it was! I hadn't seen it before. How could I have missed it? On my desk was my Slinky, the toy that has been around for decades, one of the most iconic pieces of metal in history. And it was catchy! The Slinky! Short, simple, easy to remember. And now look where we are. On air, on Riot Radio, with all of you listening. Anyway, that's all the time we have for today's show. Make sure to tune in next week to see what random topics we'll be discussing next week, and to see what's making headlines in news, sports, and the Durham region. For the Slinky on Riot Radio, I've been Gregory Giroux. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great rest of your day.
You're listening to DC Broadcasting, podcast produced by the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College.
This is Riot Radio News.
Good morning, I'm Bobby Morrison, and this is what's making news this hour. Ontario is reporting 390 new COVID-19 cases for Tuesday, while Monday saw 458 new cases, as well as two more deaths, bringing the death toll to 9,792. Tuesday has so far not seen any deaths. And Etobicoke High School has closed in-person learning due to a COVID-19 outbreak. Silverthorne Collegiate Institute could be closed for 10 days after 11 cases were reported at the school. And Toronto has found that between July and August, their 50 automatic speed cameras managed to catch over 36,000 speeders, which led to the issuing of 36,700 tickets in both July and August. One person got 9 tickets in the same spot. The highest speed detected was 141 kilometers an hour in a 50 zone. These cameras are all placed near schools and community safety zones. And for sports, Toronto Maple Leafs will host the Montreal Canadiens Wednesday evening in Toronto. Fans will be able to attend the game in person, and now the Maple Leafs Sports and Entertainment revealed updated pandemic protocols today that will be in effect for both the Leafs and the Raptors for the rest of their seasons. Now that the Ontario government lifted restrictions and now will have full capacity in arenas. To get in, fans will have to show proof of full vaccination, and the security screening will now be contactless. Fans are being urged to allow extra time for the screening when entering the arena. Masks are also required unless the individuals are eating or drinking. And Austin Matthews will not be available to play this week and will likely miss the first 3 Maple Leaf games of this season. Matthews has been recovering from a wrist injury. And now for Riot Radio weather. Today, Tuesday, will be a high of 23 degrees and a mix of sun and clouds, with a high of 17 degrees with a few showers in the evening. And for tomorrow, Wednesday, we'll see a high of 20 and a mix of sun and clouds. It is currently 20 degrees. For Riot Radio News, I'm Bobby Morrison.
You're listening to the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
Welcome to Nerdly Opinion. I'm your host, Bobby Morrison, and on today's show, an autonomous program coming to Durham. These are some hidden gem GameStop stores, and the Nerdly Opinion, Star Wars is full of flaws. But first, here's the DC focus for the week.
Campus life and regional stories about people and places. What's happening in Durham region? This is DC Focus on Riot Radio.
The Wave, a new shuttle program coming to Durham region and sponsored by our own Durham College and Ontario Tech, is in its trial program right now. What is The Wave, you may be asking? The Wave is an electric autonomous vehicle. Yes, autonomous, so no driver. This shuttle will be the first in North America, and once it passes its testing phase, the residents of Whitby will be able to ride the Wave first. Once it passes its testing pilot program, which is currently a 6-kilometer route from Whippy's GO Transit Station to the port of Whippy and then back, this shuttle will be integrated into the Durham Region Transit 300 route, where it will operate weekdays and off-peak times to minimize traffic impact on the community. Now, since this is still in its trial phase and will be here until sometime next year, you may be able to see the wave on the roads. There is also an event coming up sometime in the next month or so for people to see the wave. The goal here is to get a better understanding on how automated tech can contribute to safer transit and traffic operations. The main thought here is that if it works out, the shuttle could possibly be put onto more DRT routes in the future. And I will be honest, I've seen pictures of this shuttle and it is small. So right now they're just working with something small, you know, just to see if people like it or not. This has been, you know, put together. They want to test out this autonomous shuttle, and I think it's a pretty interesting idea to have autonomous buses alongside real buses, but like driver buses, because now you can have more options of getting where you need to go. Now, the 300 route isn't a route I am familiar with, even though I take the bus all the time, so I'm not too sure where that route goes. I think it might be a smaller route though, so it's not on the roads all the time, just to keep it safer. Like I said, it will be in the 300 route on off-peak times to minimize traffic impact, so people get used to driving next to an autonomous vehicle, I guess. And now, but yeah, so the goal here, like I said, is to get a better understanding of how this works. And if it works out, the shuttle could possibly put onto more DRT routes in the future. That's DC Focus right here on Riot Radio.
You're listening to the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College. Now back to more news, campus information, and informative talk right here on Riot Radio.
And now for Collector Corner. EB Games, GameStop Now, is one of those stores where, like Walmart, some are great, some are fine, and then some are hidden gems. And that I mean some have stuff in them that none of the others do. I'm going to be naming some of these gems today, so you can keep on collecting. First up, we have GameStop Ajax. This store is a smaller store in the Ajax Power Center / Durham Center. This store is a hidden gem I missed for so long, which is probably why it's so good. This store has / gets exclusives or collector pieces that I've never seen at any of the other stores. I've found exclusives like Comic-Con exclusives, sellout collectibles, old Lego sets, and 18-inch pop figures. These pops are rarely seen outside of American stores or stores like Mind Games. This store is hard to find, which is why it's so good. It's tucked into the Power Center by the Chapters in the 3-store unit beside a Sally Beauty and a Banana Republic. And because it's tucked away is why it hasn't changed in the years I've been going here. And I know every time I go there, every few months I'm going to find something awesome. The staff here are also awesome and super friendly. This hidden gem is located at 40 Kingston Road East, Ajax, Ontario, L1Z1E9. Another hidden gem is in Oshawa North by Durham College, a store that I had no clue existed or where it was until I began going to the college in 2019. This GameStop is tucked into the Smart Center's Harmony North Shopping Center, and by tucked into, I really mean it. It's located in almost the back corner of this center in a strip of stores near the superstore in this lot. And this one is a big hidden gem. I found a lot of home stuff like lamps, laptop, and gaming accessories, and exclusive pieces. I found exclusive Halo products like a Master Chief lamp at this store, along with awesome Transformer pieces and Funko figures. This store is located at 1445 Harmony Road North, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7K5. The last two hidden gems are both outside of malls. I don't know what it is about malls, but the GameStops inside of them usually stink. The ones outside the malls, though, seem to be pretty good. The two I'm talking about is the Hub in Pickering, Ontario, and the GameStop directly across from the Eaton Center in downtown Toronto. The Hub in Pickering is a small hub of stores in a strip mall directly across from the town center. This store is a medium size, and hidden gems are hidden away in the store. It's like a treasure hunt. The amount of pops figures I've found here in the store, the exclusives, is insane. friendly staff as well. This GameStop hub is located at 1355 Kingston Road, Pickering, Ontario, L1V1B8. The last location is directly across from the Eaton Center. This GameStop is one of the coolest ones I've ever been in. This gem has awesome statues in the front of the shop, like Darth Vader, but also awesome selections of Funko figures and Transformers. There's awesome statues and just such a cool store. This last location is located at 267 Yonge Street, Toronto, Ontario, M5B2H1. And now for the nerdly opinion. Star Wars is flawed. Star Wars has issues within itself that causes it to contradict itself. There's a new series on Disney Plus called Star Wars Visions, where 7 legendary anime studios created 9 episodes of anthology, like What If Star Wars. Different tales are told in this show, and one of those stories is called The Twins, which is about 2 twins who are born into the Sith and are meant to be evil. But one of the twins decides that he doesn't want to be evil, and this causes him and his sister to battle it out on their Star Destroyer. At one point, they go out into space without space gear and battle. This has caused a stir in the community because people are talking about how ridiculous it is that they would survive in space. But this little oopsie doesn't even compare to the rest of the Star Wars craziness. Let's talk about it. Let's start with Episode 3 and the Battle of Mustafar, or that lava planet. From what we know on Earth is that lava is hot, and the ash from these volcanoes makes it hard to breathe, and the heat can make it hard to breathe as well. While Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader both fight each other inches away from lava for what is presumably hours, neither are sweating really, and their clothes are totally unfazed from the fact that they should be burning. The heat should have ignited the fabric from the get-go, and it isn't until Darth Vader really stops moving that he gets hurt and burnt. The two of them, though, are 100% fine in this battle, which is impossible. What makes it worse is that Emperor Palpatine later finds Vader and stomps by his side, legit centimeters away from the lava. His robe should have been up and gone in seconds. Star Wars has also contradicted itself because from what the shows and the films have shown us about the Death Star, it presumably took them before the Clone Wars to 20 years into the Empire to make the Death Star. Just one Death Star. These timelines can be between 40 to 60 years, give or take, to make one battle station. And then Return of the Jedi, 1 year after Empire Strikes Back, there's almost a complete Death Star that works. Then it goes to go even further. Palpatine Sith created what seems to be thousands of Star Destroyers with Death Star tech in 30 years. What? That's impossible. Star Wars continuously contradicts itself because it's famously known that George Lucas didn't think Star Wars would work out, so he didn't really plan ahead on the future of these films. And that has been Nerdly Opinion of RiotRadio.ca. Thanks for tuning in. Now here's Bad Guy by Billie Eilish featuring Justin Bieber, playing us out on RiotRadio.ca.
Tattoos on both my sleeves, yeah. I'm the bad guy. Whoa.
Duh. But maybe it's 'cause I'm wearing your cologne.
Let's go.
I'm a bad guy.
Damn right.
I'm a bad guy.
You're listening to DC Broadcasting, podcast produced by the Broadcasting for Radio and Contemporary Media students at Durham College.